Of the tower community,
Nadi Channa
is dying. Translation: Krishna and Balaram played with the covered boyfriends by whirling about, leaping, hurling, slapping, and fighting. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would pull the hair of boys' heads. The acharyas have explained this word as follows. The word Brahmani indicates that the boys pretending they were machines would sometimes whirl about until they became dizzy. They would also sometimes jump about, Nandane. The word Kshepa indicates that sometimes they would hurl objects like balls or stones, and sometimes they would grab each other by the arms and throw one another about. Asphotana means that sometimes they would slap one another's shoulders or back. And Vikarshana indicates they would drag one another about in the midst of their play. By the word Niyodhena, arm wrestling and other types of friendly fighting are indicated. And the word Kapapaksha Dharo means that Krishna and Balaram would sometimes grab the hair of another boy's neck in a playful manner.
Option. You have to do it.
simple example. A person working in a company, like a scientist working in a research laboratory, his boss can tell him, you have to develop this product. You have to come up with some development. An accountant is told, you have to tally these accounts. A lawyer is told, you have to help me. How does this have to come in the picture? When does a person start beginning to understand that I have to do it? Only when his identity is clear. When a person identifies himself with his particular job, I have to do it. I am employed here. I get my salary. My father worked in the Indian Post and Telegraph. And sometimes, almost every year, in the monsoons, there would be one or two days when people would say that this is Bombay's monsoon. That means all the trains are stopped. Or sometimes in train stations, up to the level platform there is water. And in such a situation, you would tell him, don't go. What's your point in going to office? And remember, one year he left. Horribly, when he was staying, reached BT station at 12 o'clock. He left at 8 and he just signed his muster and left BT and came back at 6 o'clock. So, what are the words? But he said, no. As long as I can, I have to show that I am diligent, I am whatever, I am very honest in my activities. Or so there were times, there were people who were trained up like that, and of course I should think this is too much. If there is no response for your honesty, no response for your diligence, who cares? But he said, no, you don't do that, prevent me again. No. So I was just thinking, ordinary postal worker, clerk, working in Indian Post and Telegraph, what is he gained by showing such level of honesty to a government department, which gives two hooks, as they say, about all the things which you have done for them? The point we're taking is, it depends on the person, his identification that I am a loyal person, at least in my own inner sense, I should have been true. And many years later, when I was reading something about mathematics science, they say actually if you get a person like that, you should be very proud, you should be very happy that in your organization you have people who identify themselves as honest servants. In fact, as many of us progressing, things are becoming very, very hazy. I saw in today's job interviews, they don't even ask you whether you will be loyal to the company. I don't think they have any right to ask you. Because the man who is taking your interview can tomorrow leave and go somewhere else. He might tell you that, you know, we need loyal people here. We need people who do the best of this job. And I don't want slackers. I don't want any. Of course, there's other side to it. Yes, devotee here, Ansarda Prabhu. He said in his company, about 25 people were told that you are fired. Normally, as soon as they come to their desks, they are told that don't start the machine because it's locked. And you are all supposed to go to one room. And a person is delegated to tell them that we have made make our figures and we can't make much money this year. So you all have to go. This is Atlas task. I don't know if it really happened or maybe there is some parenthesis into it. This man is telling a whole room full of people that you are all fired. By the time he's finished, he gets a report saying he is fired. Because they did this calculation based on something and now times have changed. So they say even middle level managers have to go. So when you have this kind of understanding, experts say that people tend to leave that loyalty stage, identifying oneself as a caretaker, as a loyal person, too slowly they go to higher and higher negative lens. And at one point they cross that boundary and become actually saboteurs, those who may wreck, those who may sell company secrets, those who may damage company's property. We saw a few months ago in a car manufacturing company in Haryana. They just burned the whole thing, one man died. Now these people were knowing that these machines are the source of my livelihood. Why should I damage them? And then that inner sense of identification is lost. Why does a man become a patriot? Oh, I want to give my life for my country. He identifies himself as, oh, there's a debt of gratitude. I was born here. So many emotions are involved. And why does a man become a traitor to his country? What country, you know, what she has done for me? I was just thinking this also very nicely can be put in spiritual life, where why somebody feels I have to be a true Krishna? One. And why somebody says, I hate him. I can't stand him. There is no God. What has God done for me? Very simplistically, Prabhupada says, this is a matter of demons and demigods. Right from the beginning of time, Dvabhuta Sarve Lokeshmi, Sarve means creation. If at the time of creation there are demons and demigods, and Krishna says, so there is a blame on Krishna. Do you, for the sake of fun, when you make this material world, did you make like that half the party demons, half party demigods, and then you make them fight against each other? Like I remember in our childhood days, for a cricket team, there are 18 boys. Then there will be two who will be acting like captains. I don't know what's the style in other parts of India, but we would go to hold hands. And one would choose one, other would choose the other. Right? And that's how a team is made, or two teams are made. For another game, another team, like ritual of making two teams. So does Krishna, when he creates this material world, does he create a demon like his Kalambasu? Or a Lamba means very long. Very, very extraordinary long. That's why it's called Kalamba. And he's a Asura. And a very talented person, very resourceful person, very intelligent person. But the intelligence will use the service of Kamsa. And that's why he wants to kill Krishna. A hint can be found in the Bhagavad Gita for many things. Krishna says, I don't make anybody a deva, I don't make anybody an asura. In fact, nothing in this material world is sort of willed by me. Please don't understand. Will in the sense, I want someone to become a millionaire. And the next year, I want him to become a beggar. Krishna says no. Personally, I'm not happy if he becomes a millionaire. And personally, I don't laugh as to how I'm getting poor. Why? That would be cheap. That would be ridiculous. How can somebody who claims to be the father, all-knowing, all-loving father, take this kind of happiness. A normal father would do that. How many times in a family we see a 10-year-old and he has a younger one and 5 years old, and if he slaps him, the parents take him to task. He is small, how can he not understand? So how can Krishna be the father, still claim that, you know, his nature is defined by the truth? There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where he says, Udasinavat asina asaktam teshu karmasu. Udasin. Normally, if a person is asking, say, whatever, why are you so neutral? You can't. You have to take a stance. So these are some confusing points which have confused philosophers, big philosophers, for the last millions of years practically. And the only way out is to hear from authorities. One devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Krishna is too confusing. His character is too confusing. It is difficult for me to understand. So Prabhupada said, you say difficult for you. Krishna is difficult for big scholars to understand. What to speak of you? So if somebody says, oh, I can't understand Krishna, no big deal about it. Big demigods don't understand Krishna. Krishna never says words. I would be happy to see that, because I also have a personal nature to find some fault. That Krishna says, I bewilder manushyas. Manushyas are never considered even. The Yamadutas, when they ask Vishnu Dutas, who are you? Are you Deva, Upadeva, Siddha? They never say, are you men from some other part of this world? Ravana really wanted a benediction. He never claimed that, save me from men. He said, men? Why fear men? I'll have to forget first. So we might say our particular world, this particular globe, our achievements, and like Bhakti Vilas Goswami, he's a chemistry PhD. So he knows what he's talking, and I don't, but I'm just giving an example. When scientists were thinking that if people from outer space, whoever they are, if they come, or they want to know what have we achieved, so we have to provide the best of scientific progress in front of them. So that time, whatever time it was, they selected the double helix, the DNA double helix diagram, as to, this is what we have done, understand? And they started sending those signals. And nothing came. So they said, nothing idiots are outside there. They can't understand what kind of sophisticated technology this is. He said, nobody had the guts or the courage to raise the question. What if they see this and they laugh? What if they see our level of technology and they say, this is so ridiculous, it is not even worth going there. This people are so backward. That's the thought, there's a possibility, isn't it? So, Krishna doesn't take somebody and say, hey, you are a demon from the way. No. Simultaneously, he doesn't take somebody and say, Krishna will be a demigod. No. In fact, asura are not to define that this makes somebody an asura. He has to have two fangs or particular height, whiskey hair, copper red eyes, very gruff voice. No. It says Vishnu Bhakta Smrta Deva. If you are a Vishnu Bhakta, you are any godly, or any god, or a candidate for any god. And who is an asura? Who is not a Vishnu Bhakta, immediately, gradually, finally, but has to come in that category. The morning in the lecture, Prabhupada is saying, He has nothing against them. He's talking of Shaivites. But Ravana was a Shiva Bhakta. So what is the end point of somebody becoming a Bhakta of demigods? You still end up living with demons or getting their fate. So, being a demigod or a demigod carrying a sometimes Prabhupada threat writes in his first words, all devotees are demigods. The first time I read this, I was very happy. But then he said, what he did that is what he did to the servants of Krishna. A demigod doesn't mean he has to have siddhis or he has to have some extraordinary power. One who sees himself in the morning mirror and says, I am a devotee of Krishna. Like those devotees who do regular deity worship. You remember that passage you read every time? I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Somehow or other, since time immemorial, what I have done? I have identified myself with matter. From how long? Not this is my work, since time immemorial. So you may say, okay, you might have identified yourself with matter. What happens after that? Oh, then you get entangled in matter and start suffering the burning threefold miseries. Three vidata, aditari, vibhuti, adhyatma. Miseries given by your own body, miseries given by other living entities, miseries coming by natural cataclysms. What is the way out? Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune. Why this good fortune has to be unimaginable? Because the living entity once in matter, he cannot understand how to get out of it. Another way Maharaj should give an example. If you have a key or a mobile phone or a watch, and for the last 3 days, you don't know where to put it. Now if that watch is your trademark, if you like to receive two receipts and you have a nice watch, so when you say, where is the watch? Oh, you lost it. Where is your mobile phone? I lost it. Where is your key? You lost it. He says, please try to understand. You have the identity of the owner of the particular thing. You know that you have lost it. You haven't found it yet. You don't know where you have put it. But you knew that you lost it. The living entity does not even know that he has lost his connection with Krishna. That's how matter encompasses him completely. So it is not a fact that by one's own efforts, one can say, okay, what's the problem? That is body. That's my thinking. That's the problem. Okay, I have to be more misery. Okay, now let me know. That. Completely that. No book, no siddhis, no tapasya. Nothing in the 14 words can help a person on his own thing, on his own prowess, as to how can I conquer this. Why? Because his thinking is material, so his solutions also will be materially infected. We pray that Guru, he opened my eyes with the prospect of the style of knowledge. Yan Anjana Shalakaya. Sometimes the word prospect torch is used, Shalaka training. But the real word is Shalaka. Shalaka is prospect. And there is a eye lotion, you get a stick with it. There's a pair of glass, you think of your food. With that you put the I Anjan. Yan Anjan. Yan Anjan Shalakaya. Chakshu Unmilitam. Till the time the Guru, he doesn't interfere in the living entity's life, is not supposed to claim that I even had knowledge. that knowledge is also considered avidya, which puts you in the mode of an enjoyment. Even that knowledge is not considered knowledge. There is absence of that knowledge, which is avidya or avidya. Like in the material world, somebody can say he's a fool. He doesn't understand computers. So, okay. Or someone doesn't understand how to use a mobile phone. He's a fool. But even if you know how to make your own mobile phone, still you are a fool. If you don't understand how to get out of this material illusion. So asuras come in various shapes, forms, size, pattern, package, name. They are everywhere. And in this age, Kali especially, they are all within us. That mentality is all within us. Only when a jiva identifies himself as, I have this connection with Krishna. Now how do I develop it? How do I come in Krishna's presence? This verse is phenomenal in its scope as to what devotees can do with Krishna. You remember that soon. But our typical problems that how do I see Krishna? Have any seen Krishna? Prabhupada once explained, why such inordinate pressure on just one sense organ? Why? You have other organs, ears, tongue. Vedic literature doesn't just tell you that seeing Krishna is the be all and end all. Because you can taste Krishna, you can hear Krishna. I was amazed that particular class, Prabhupada simply goes on becoming more and more magnanimous and more sort of, he's becoming so broad-minded in what is the meaning of coming in the presence of Krishna. Like if I have to come in your presence, I would call you up and say, how about the meeting? Can we meet here? Can we meet there? Only when we physically meet, we say, okay, that was a meeting. Of course, today we have video conferencing, Skype calls, and so many other ways we try to make up for that loss where we can't meet physically. But please try to understand, if you are having a Skype conference and you don't see the person, immediately say, hey, I can't see you. But you can hear me, oh, but I can't see you. Because I want to see you and now I can't. So there is this, or if I can hear you but I can't, if I can see you but I can't hear you, then also the expectation was it has to be both. Prabhupada explains Krishna is absolute. He comes one level down. If you have no access to Krishna, like we all, you can't say we have access to Krishna's personal presence. Krishna's fame is absolute. When devotees come and discuss, Krishna did this on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he did that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he did this in Dwarka, he did this in Vrindavan. That fame, that 5,000 years have passed and still people are discussing about him, how famous this person is. That fame also means you are in Krishna's personal presence. So these are my thoughts which I am hearing this lecture. Okay, so seeing Krishna face to face, if not that, hearing about Krishna's activities, then no one comes even lower than that. I can't say lower exactly, I am saying like somebody becoming more open, let's put it like that, becoming more open or more available. Prabhupada said you can discuss the lives of Krishna's unalloyed devotees and be in Krishna's presence. He specifically gives the example of six Goswamis. So we can discuss them, Narada Muni, and discuss them. even when you're discussing Narada Muni's life story, the great activity of Sri Goswami is, he says, you are in Krishna's presence. And of course I thought, for all of us, even to discuss Prabhupada's leela of spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere, why? Like sometimes you may hear the same thing and say, oh, I heard it. That's my real understanding. But whenever somebody says, oh, Prabhupada came to San Francisco and he did this, still there is some kind of freshness in that. It gives a boost, it gives you that joy. Why? Prabhupada's promise. If you discuss anything about somebody who is an unalloyed devotee of Krishna, you are in Krishna's presence. So, Krishna's presence, nobody is better off that, provided he has the link with a pure devotee's spiritual master. And Prabhupada did that. Here we are hearing demigods, Deva, Gopala Rupinam. Demigods used to disguise themselves as members of the cowherd community. They were so attractive. I once asked this query, that sometimes we think demigods are all busy with their self-gratification, and how come they shower flowers, or they see Krishna Leela. Sometimes it is very Durga, you can't see Krishna Leela. Normally just the word Deva is used, but specifically to understand, not all demigods can do this. There are few who have that understanding that this all is eternal. We want to make a solution to this. The lowest category of demigods are those who have just opened some dispensaries, schools, colleges, whatever, planted some trees, given some free food, and they are like, no, let me go now and let the dance begin, now let the music begin. So they are not interested in anything higher than that. That particular category is Shri Punya Mataloka Mission. They go there, again, he cites some Puranic reference. The moment you enter a demigod's planet, you are given a nice garland. Your entry level recognition. And you find that his garland is so nice, it is ever fresh. And maybe after 2 million years, you find that one particular flower has been dried, it has withered away. And you say, alright. Like you see one hair turning white, you might just tuck it under many others or just pull it out. Pull out the middle one. After again few thousands of years, one more. Finally, you can't hide it anymore. And everybody starts looking at that person as if, time is up. Now it doesn't really fade away in youth or whatever. It just is time is gone. I mean, his time is running out. What happens when all the flowers wither away? Particularly at some point of time, unknown, unseen by others, he just transported to a physical place. So nobody dies on the demigod's planet. Everybody lives there continuously. Their level is intact. Amara. Nobody dies here. But the fact is, those who are supposed to die, they are not allowed to stay there. They are transferred to some other place. From there, they die. And then Shri Punya Bhaktiloka Mission is recognized in Bhagavad Gita that through rains or any other great attributes, they can come down. Now this soul is better for all its pious activities. Not a very difficult example to understand. Somebody thinks that they are so bad, I don't know if she particularly people that somebody is a Shaman was a paraplegic, that means he cannot walk. And he earned millions of dollars in the lottery today. First prize. What are they going to do with that? Normally in America, the statistics is a millionaire who becomes a millionaire only on lotteries, in 3 or 4 years he comes back to normal. Because he just got the money, he doesn't have the art of keeping money. There is the art of earning money and there is the art of retaining it. Both are two distinct objects. So this person, let's say somebody has earned millions of rupees, whatever, he goes to Dubai, finding whatever hotel, 30-40,000 rupees a day, and then throws lavish parties, day in, day out, and enjoying. And one day he's told that tomorrow will be your last day. So when you see him in the streets, you find that, you know, he had that money, but now he's the same person. Similarly, in fact, all of us may have been many times over this kind of demigods and come back. Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Pramita, the reality simply rotates throughout the universe. Chaitanya Chaitanya says, sometimes up, sometimes down. These are the, these devas, they are the special ones. They know who Krishna is. They are very attractive. They are willing to take Gopala Vesh. Just like when Sita Thakurani, she decided to visit the birth, celebrate the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Many other demigoddesses came. In fact, Jagannath Krishna and Chachi Devi would be surprised. How so many people come to our house? What they do? And why they are celebrating? Why they are so happy seeing this thing on baby? These are the fortunate demigods. In a sense, they have a sense of duty, they have a sense of purpose, and they are not happy where they are. There is a reference to this in the 9th chapter, I think. Yeah. Where they say, we would like to take birth in the homes of your devotees, my Lord, so that from the very beginning of our life, and Baba says, all parents need to know, you should be bringing up your children as if they are these demigods who have requested to Krishna, please give us Vaishnava parents and we can get a proper Vaishnava upbringing. Baba will say, I was fortunate that my father, right from an age where I could barely hold a mridanga, and he had a mridanga teacher come and teach me. Abhay Chand, as he was called, his arms would barely reach the edge of the mridanga. And his mother would say, why such an early age? No, it's important. So just look at this. Prabhupada's father said, this learning mridanga is more important. There's a DVD where Prabhupada is playing mridanga, and it just makes a beat. And just, my father wanted me to learn this. One uncle wanted me to go to London and become a barrister. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada's father said, no, you just learn how to smoke, drink and chase women. He would pray to his sadhu, please teach my, please bless my son to be a servant of Radha. That's why Prabhupada had so much gratitude for his father. He called him pure devotee. Krishna would be dedicated to him. To my father, both one day a pure devotee of Krishna. So some devi gods, those are the most fortunate ones. They could resist. Now Krishna is not some kind of a street corner dance where you can just go and do something and come back. It takes how much sukriti, how much punya, how much pious activity it takes to enter it. So those who doesn't give it, doesn't end the price. But it just says that these boys who are playing with Krishna, Krita Punya Puja. In Sanskrit, Capitalist is called Punji. Capitalist is called Punji. The Hindi word for capitalist is Punjiwadi. Somebody who has a lot of money. These are spiritual capitalists. Krishna Leela, his Bal Leela, is like a playground of the super, super spiritually rich people. They have phenomenal, there is a billionaire's club, there's a billionaire's club, where to enter the club you have to be a billionaire first. And then you have to retain that for some years, then they make you a full billionaire. Why this exclusivity? Because people of the class come here. So Krishna's friends, they are also spiritually rich, billionaire. But what is their capital? What is their resource? Purity of service. They are so pure, they don't want anything from Krishna. There is no material benefit that they are seeking. They plainly want to love him. And Krishna loves. Sakya Ras is a very, very bona fide Ras. We find that in our lives, this verse, the second verse, which I have to put, this is what the demigods saw. Krishna and Balaram. Now, Krishna and Balaram would know that this person is a demigod. That doesn't mean that Krishna says, there is only our friends. How do you meet me so much? He knows everything, but he allows them. It's alright. Like there is a description of how Maharaj Parikshit, when he was sitting for hearing 7 days, everybody and their uncle came to give advice. Somebody said, let this king go for hunting, let her saint. Lava doesn't mention exactly. But everybody has come and said, oh, what is 7 days for him? What can he do, you know? Which TV thing to watch and what to eat, where to go, which resort or what. No! At that time people were saying, yeah, please understand how this world is all ephemeral and maybe that will help you. Somebody said yoga, somebody said this. There was a bunch of demigods with Amrit Kalash, the platform of nectar. And it seems Sudeva Goswami said, who are some demigods have come from Swargalok and they said that Bhagavad Kathamrita is going to be liberally distributed here on the banks of Ganga. So, we have come with some Swargamrita. So what? Give this to the king. We are sure that his death will be put off by many, many, many millions of years. Guaranteed. And then what? And please let us hear Bhagavad Gita from you. And you know what Sri Goswami said? Kick them out first. What are their options? They were just, they presume that everybody likes what we like. Like if somebody is a cigar smoker, you know, you can say, I could have one. So you have to know that somebody who doesn't smoke or doesn't drink, the best or worst are both the same. So what should they perform against what their mentality? You claim that this nectar which enables you to enjoy sense gratification and become more entangled in matter, in exchange for that, you want to hear Bhagavad? First of all, we have to go to those planets. That's a mistake, isn't it? Therefore, he said, in the mouth. So, from you don't know what. But that nectar, Prabhupada gave it freely. His books. He said, giving Bhagavatam is my goal. In fact, he related to one devotee. Honestly speaking, I didn't want to go to this material world. The devotee made a face at him. Krishna said, no, Krishna forced me. And then he said, at least go give these books. And then he went. So again, we don't have any right to have Srimad Bhagavatam. It is just some unimaginable good fortune that this Bhagavatam is made available and that we are reading. Krishna acting just like Buddha's activity. Brahmane, single boy, or single sakha, working around himself and feeling dizzy and just, you know, crashing somewhere or hugging a tree or whatever. I'm sure you have seen an hour dancing. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. Lankane, jumping over somebody, shape by it, throwing somebody. Asportal, slapping. Vikarshane, drag somebody. Chikradatu, they played like this. Niyutthena, yeah, it doesn't mean a fight. It's a mock fight, playful fight. The Supreme Lord, Prabhupada Vishnu, again and again say, is the source of all emotions. He enjoys them to the fullest. Just like Mother Yashoda joining Bhattan, that is the emblem for those who want to relish Vatsalyas. Krishna's playful acting, these games, this slapping, throwing, this is the emblem for those who want to relish Sakhyaras. This Sakhyaras, friendship mood, becomes so overwhelming. Krishna feels dependent on his friends. There are instances where mother is calling and saying, Krishna, come. And Krishna says, I have to leave, my mother is calling. And the friends look at him and say, one more instance you do this, tomorrow will not allow you. He comes back. So Bhagavatam actually explains, for a neophyte like me, all the time to see, depend on Krishna, increase your dependence on Krishna, cultivate your dependence on Krishna. It sounds like a big homework, it sounds like bitter, it sounds like a big struggle. But the struggle is not on Krishna, the struggle is me and my own ego. My ego says, I can take care of it. I know this world, I've been here for a long time, I can take care of it. And Bhagavan says, precisely that's the reason why I can't trust you, because you're here for a long time. So this dependence on Krishna is the biggest obstacle. Somehow or other, we have to overcome it. And what do we see when we overcome this? What do we find? Krishna super dependent on his devotees. It's not like Vaikuntha Loka is a place where Krishna reminds you all the time. So who's God? Huh? Who's God? Me? Okay. The next day again, so who's God? No, that's not it. That would be torturous. This place is much better than that. Why is material world sometimes addressed to be a place where you are believed? At least nobody is telling me who is God and, you know, I can be my own God. But real Vaikuntha, Guru Vrindavan, play. There's no homework. Young people who were harassed by the American government, come fight the Vietnam War, come do this. So one devotee said, Prabhupada, what exactly is Vaikuntha like? Prabhupada said, no draft board. No one tell you that you will find. Because he made relative. Like, Guruji Prabhu has an example of somebody asking, what exactly is Vaikuntha bliss? Prabhupada is like an ocean of LSD. One row or one shot and you will hide for 2 hours. Ocean that means, how can that digest it? These are sometimes Prabhupada has to, the analogy giver has to come down the level of the person, the recipient of knowledge, and explain accordingly. But this fact is seen when Krishna is bound to a mortal in Vatsalyas. Yashoda Mata has bound him. This is what I'm already thinking. Okay, this episode is over now, she found me. I have to deliver these two trees. They are long standing. That's an account I have to settle. My devotee Narada Muni has told these two brothers, you will be born as trees in another courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. They are long standing account I have to clear now. Somehow or other, he goes to so many obstacles, liberates them.
People say, why can't he liberate himself?
For that, his friends can't help him. He has to ask Nanda Maharaj, please, I'm dying. So the Acharya is explaining. This is how he shows his total dependence on his devotees. For liberating you and me is quite capable. But for his own rasa, he is dependent on his devotees. His depending on his devotees is his biggest opulence. And that's what being the Buddha life, what it is. Hare Krishna. So stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki, 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 Shri